Well, good morning. I want to just thank Jeff for the opportunity to share with you from the Word this morning. I don't take this lightly. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to bring the Word to you this morning. And I'm very thankful that I've had three cups of coffee this morning. At 8:30 service, I had only had two. And so you know that in between, I've had another one. And I'm also very excited because a new study just came out that said we can safely drink five cups of coffee a day. Can I get an amen? And so I've got two more to go. And they will probably be consumed before I'm done this morning. I like coffee. Anybody else like coffee? Raise your hand if you like coffee. I like my coffee hot. There's something therapeutic about that hot cup of coffee first thing in the morning. You get it, you pour it, the mug is hot. It's just, there's something about it. However, there's some of you that like your coffee iced. That's okay. We love you still. I was introduced to iced coffee several years ago by one of the youth pastors that was on staff of the church I was pastoring, and he and I went to go have coffee one afternoon, and he said, "Have you ever tried a cold brew iced coffee?" And I said, "Why would anybody do that?" And he said, "No, seriously, it's really good." And I'm like, "No." And he's like, "Now, you cannot say no to something you've not tried." He was using parent psychology on me. So I said, fine, I'll try this iced coffee. It wasn't bad. It was actually pretty good. And I'll be honest, since that time, on occasion, on days where it's 100 bazillion degrees outside and I want coffee, an iced coffee is kind of refreshing, to be honest with you. And so I've always wondered, as I've studied the Bible and have read a lot about Jesus, I've always wondered, did Jesus drink coffee? I mean, I don't know. Maybe there was coffee back then. I don't know if he drank it or not. But I don't know if he liked it hot or if he liked it iced. I bet not iced. However, I do think Jesus understood, and maybe he's not talking about coffee. In fact, I'm sure he's not. But maybe Jesus understood that it's either got to be hot or it's got to be cold for you to really enjoy coffee. I don't know about you, but you get a cup and it's lukewarm. That's just no good. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 14 this morning in the book of Revelation. We are at the part of the book right there at the beginning, the chapter 2 and chapter 3 is where Jesus has told John to kind of dictate these letters that he's wanting to bring to the seven churches that are in Asia Minor at the time. And these letters are kind of famous. Jesus kind of talks to these churches. Most of the churches, six out of the seven churches, Jesus tells them something's wrong. There's only one church he says, "You guys are doing a pretty good job." The one we're going to look at today is the church of Laodicea. It's actually the seventh letter. It's the last one. And Jesus says this in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3. "Write this to the angel of the church in Laodicea. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. After all, you say I'm rich and I've grown wealthy and I don't need a thing. You don't realize that you are miserable, pathetic, poor, blind, and naked. My advice is that you buy gold from me that has been purified by fire so that you may be rich and white clothing to wear, so that your nakedness won't be shamefully exposed, and your ointment put on your eyes, so that you may see. One of the challenging parts of Scripture is kind of to figure out what the context, who the audience is, and what's going on. These seven letters are kind of interesting because they're written to the church. And we know that the church is this collective gathering of people serving together, praying together, worshiping together. And that's what makes them the church. But what's also important for us to know is that the church is made up of individuals, all of you sitting here this morning. And how we live our lives individually ultimately reflects our beliefs of how our role is to play out and how the church impacts the community and the mission of the gospel. And so Jesus is telling this church, hey, listen, I know your works. I've seen you. And I don't think I'd want to have been sitting in the church of Laodicea when they wrote this letter, because here's what Jesus is really saying. You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. And as far as I'm concerned, your church is useless. Help us. I don't think I would have been wanted to be in Laodicea when the letter from Jesus came and Jesus said, your church is useless. So much so that I want to spit you out of my mouth. That's hard. Now, for us to kind of understand, and the people of Laodicea would have absolutely understood what Jesus was saying and what he was referencing, and what he was meaning. You see, Laodicea was this incredibly wealthy, very affluent community. Laodicea, I think we have a map. Laodicea was in along this trade route, and a lot of trade, a lot of things went through Laodicea. Laodicea was known as for its textile industry. And one of the things that it was well known for was its very elegant black wool. Cost a lot of money to buy something made of this black wool. Laodicea was also known for its banking industry. There was a lot of money in Laodicea. The other thing Laodicea was known for is it actually had a medical school. And in that medical school, its specialty was ophthalmology. And they had developed in this school of ophthalmology an eye ointment that they were using at the time to take care of eye conditions. And so it makes it very interesting when Jesus speaks to them. He speaks right at them and he says, oh yeah, by the way, you're naked, even though you have lots of black wool. And you're poor, even though you have an incredible banking industry and you think you're rich. Oh yeah, and you're blind, even though you have this eye ointment salve that you think does all this good. While Laodicea had all of this going on for them, they had one thing they were missing. They were missing one very important thing. And the one thing they were missing was Laodicea did not have its own water supply. And so there were two communities not far from Laodicea. One was called Hierapolis, and you can see it there on the map, just to the north of Laodicea. Hierapolis was known for its mineral hot springs, kind of similar to what you might find at Yellowstone National Park. It was known for these hot springs, and people would travel from Laodicea and around the area to go bathe in the hot springs, because in these hot springs, they believed that the mineral water and the heat was extremely therapeutic. Even today, you can still go visit Hierapolis, and you can still go and bathe in the hot springs. So Laodicea or Hierapolis had these hot springs. Now, just kind of to the south of Laodicea was a place called Colossae. Colossae was known for its cold, fresh spring water. Water that was refreshing. Now, Laodicea did not have its own water. So they came up with this really great idea because they had lots of money and could afford to do this, that they would build an aqueduct system from Hierapolis to Laodicea and from Colossae to Laodicea. They just didn't understand the laws of thermodynamics back then. And so they decided to pipe the mineral hot spring therapeutic water to Laodicea because they didn't want to have to go there. And they decided to pipe the very cool, refreshing water from Colossae to Laodicea. But by the time it made the journey from those two places, the hot water and the cold water had become lukewarm water, which is quite frankly useless. And so when Jesus says to the church of Laodicea, I know your works. They're neither hot nor cold. They're lukewarm. And the people of the church of Laodicea would go, yeah, we understand that. That didn't work. That didn't work. And so Jesus is telling the people of the church of Laodicea, I need you to be hot or cold if you want to be my church. I need you to be therapeutic to those who need that warmth, that encouragement. I need you to be that so that I can use you. But I also need you at times to be cool and refreshing because I can use that too. I just can't use you when you're blah. I can't. There's nothing I can do with that. But I want to, and I want to be able to use you for you to be my church in Laodicea. When I was pastoring with the Church of the Nazarene, I was a youth pastor for a while in Fort Worth, Texas. And we were at one of our district assembly meetings, and that particular time we were in Lubbock at the time. And our church group, staff and families and some of our lay members were together, and we were on our lunch break, and we went to Logan's Roadhouse. Anybody miss Logan's? Yes, the bread. I know Texas Roadhouse says they got good bread, but ain't nothing like Logan's in my opinion. So we're at this Logan's Roadhouse, and there was a good group of us. There were several of us. And one of our lay members' son was a pastor on our district, and he came with us to lunch that day. So we're sitting at this table, bunch of us, and this young man was going to be our waiter, and he comes up to the table, and he says, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Joe. I'm going to be serving you today. Can I start you guys off with a cold beer or something to drink? The gentleman who was the pastor, not from our church, but from another church, very quickly when that young man said this, he said this, I'll have you know, young man, the majority of people sitting around this table are ministers of the gospel of Jesus, and we do not partake of such things. That poor kid. Actually, I leaned over to the worship pastor. Remember, I'm the youth pastor. I leaned over to the worship pastor and said, should I order a beer? He just shook his head. I was the youth pastor then. That poor kid went pale. You could tell he got a little sweaty. And he apologized. I am so sorry. I didn't know. I didn't mean any offense. Please forgive. I'm so sorry. Folks, that wasn't hot or cold. That's what lukewarm looks like. Some may say, no, that was hot. No, that wasn't. My pastor got up from the table, followed that young man, and later we found out that he apologized. And said, let me tell you something, that is not who the majority of people sitting at this table are. And you're doing your job, and we appreciate you. Thanks for taking care of us. That is hot and cold. That is therapeutic and refreshing. And when I think about that, I think about how we collectively come together on Sundays. We collectively come to Grace as our church and our place of worship. And we come together and yes, Jesus is writing the letter to the church, but he's also writing it to us saying, here's what you have to understand. How you live your daily life really determines if this place is hot or cold. And I sure hope that that young waiter at Logan's realized that the church that I was a part of at the time was hot and cold. And I wonder what he thought of the other pastor's church. Isn't it interesting how people who are of the same even denomination represent Jesus in very different ways. Some represent Jesus in a way that says, that was awesome. That was therapeutic. That was refreshing. I can use that. And others, Jesus goes, I can't do anything with that. How am I supposed to work through that? So my question for us this morning is, are you hot? Are you cold? Are you therapeutic? Are you refreshing? Or are you lukewarm? People who are therapeutic and refreshing are people whose conversations and their interactions and the relationships they find themselves in, they're full of grace and forgiveness and love and compassion and mercy. People who are lukewarm, find their relationships are more based on bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, apathy. And Jesus is saying, I want to use you. I need to use you. That was the whole plan. The whole plan was for that me to die on a cross, to be raised again so that my spirit could fill you and so that all the earth can know who I am. And so that all the earth can know that there is a God who loves them and there is a king who is coming back. And I need everyone to know, and I need you to be hot or cold. I need you to be therapeutic or refreshing. When you're not, I can't do anything with that. When we retired from ministry, we actually retired January of 25. I pastored River Valley Church of the Nazarene here in Fort Smith for about 13 years. And when we made the decision, November of that, maybe October of that year of 2024, that it was time, my wife and I said, we've got to find a church. And sometimes being a pastor and finding another church is a little awkward. And you try not to tell people in the beginning who you are and what you're doing. And it's really hard. We wanted to start trying to find a place prior to the Sunday when, you know, you're done one Sunday and now you don't have anywhere to go the next Sunday. And you just we were like, whoa, that's going to be a weird deal. So we started coming to Monday night here at Grace because it worked well for pastors who have to preach on Sunday. So we came to Grace, and we were sitting in Monday night service over in the chapel, and I don't remember if it was the first night, the first Monday, or the second Monday we were here, but Jeff said something. I can't tell you what it was, but I squeezed my wife's hand, and she squeezed mine, and we were like, yep. And ever since then, I can tell you that we have found this place to be therapeutic and refreshing. That's what we have found here. That's why we love being a part of Grace. That's why we love serving in the children's ministry. And every once in a while, Abby lets me get in the cage on a Sunday morning and play a little drums. And we love it here. And I'm so thankful it's a place for our grandchildren to grow up, because they come with us with their mom and dad. And we just have found a place here that is therapeutic and refreshing. And I know it's because collectively we're trying our best to be used by Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I think Paul kind of helps us kind of put all of this together of what this is supposed to look like. Whoops, wrong one. There we go. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united and agreeing with each other. See, that's the church. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Thinking the same way, loving together, being united together and agreeing with each other. But then he goes on, I think this is the part where it becomes more individual to us. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude of Christ Jesus, and he gives us Jesus's attitude. This is what Jesus is looking for. He's looking to see himself in us. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit. But he emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This morning, you have a great opportunity to find out where you can be hot or cold, where you can be therapeutic or refreshing right here at Grace. The foyer is full of opportunities this morning. Whether it's serving, whether it's making casseroles, whether it's going to a small group to learn how to become more therapeutic and more refreshing, whether it's through youth or children or however it is, there's immense opportunities. But as you walk out of this place this morning, I want you to remember that you have immense and even more opportunities every day in your relationships with your spouse, your children, your employer, your boss, your neighbor, and dare I even say your enemy, to be someone that is therapeutic and refreshing, not lukewarm. Because that is exactly what Jesus is looking for in his church. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love and grace for us. Thank you that when we are at times in our lives and we know we are lukewarm, thank you for reminding us what you need us to be. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit dwelling and moving in and through us, that you would help us to be people that are therapeutic, people that are refreshing. When others come in contact with us, may they see you. Jesus, we love you. And may you this morning find us useful. And for that, we surrender to you. And we say, Jesus, use us whenever, however. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor, for it's due you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.